My name's Kath Sutherland and I'm the parliamentary candidate for Nottingham South, and I live in Nottingham South in the Meadows area.
What inspired you to go into politics?
Well, I've always been interested in politics since I was in my 20s, and somewhere around the 90s it became obvious to anyone who was really listening that the environment was the giant issue, the issue that was going to dominate the 21st century. And so I kind of became active in Greenpeace, and that was a busy period of my life anyway, 20 years or so. So that was enough, just being a Greenpeace volunteer. And then more recently, I thought I would like to get back into a full political party rather than, as well as a campaigning group, yeah.
Why do you think you are the ideal candidate for Nottingham South?
Well, I mainly think I'm the ideal candidate because I'm standing for the Green Party, and I think the Green Party policies will be good policies for Nottingham South and for Nottingham and Nottinghamshire and the whole country. But me personally, I have led what I'd call an ordinary life. I've worked in a variety of jobs, I've brought up children, I've seen my parents out of this world, and I've done things that ordinary people have done, you know, had to balance a family budget for however many years of my life. So I can relate to other ordinary people living their lives, but really the reason I would be a good choice is because the Green Party policies are facing up to the climate emergency. They would be undoing austerity. They would be providing a strong, caring welfare state, and a minimum level of provision for everybody in society through our universal basic income proposal. We have got radical changes, really, to the way the country has been run for the last 50 years or something. They're not going to sort of change everybody's day-to-day working life. People will still have homes and families and going out to work, but the type of industry that we concentrate on developing, the type of agriculture, the way we support people who fall on hard times, who are unlucky and can't go out to work and support themselves, we certainly wouldn't be continuing with the cruel way that universal credit is implemented. Universal credit isn't necessarily wrong, although we've got a different proposal, but the way it's implemented has certainly been very cruel, and particularly with cuts for benefits for disabled people. I mean, we would change that. We would change the way our transport operates and is fueled, and change the way homes are heated, change the way our electricity is produced, and many other things.
Do you think that in the 2019 election there has been a bit of a sea changing in other parties' attitudes towards the environment?
I think theirs is a reactive change. I think there has been a change, not for the Tories or the Brexit Party, and those parties generally barely even acknowledge that climate change is a problem, because they're such strong believers that the free market has to be left to do its own thing without any interference. I think that makes it very hard for them to accept the existence of climate change. But for the other parties, principally the Labour and the Lib Dems, I think that the explosion of awareness, principally amongst young people, but amongst all the population really, has led to them rapidly realising themselves that they've got to take it seriously. Plus, to be fair, there have been a whole series of scientific reports and over the last year or two, which have really hammered home. I mean, scientists are desperately trying to hammer home the message that we're at an absolutely critical turning point in possibly even our survival, but certainly a mass extinction, a huge change to which areas of the world can be lived in, which areas of the world can continue to grow crops. Not tomorrow, but you're talking you know, probably the second half of the 21st century, but really starting in 10 or 20 years, the changes are going to become very serious. And so I think it's impossible for political parties to completely ignore that, or political parties on the left of centre who aren't instinctively hostile to the role having a state, the role of the state, because the state is going to have a role in reversing or halting climate change. It's not going to be done by just leaving the market to sort it out itself. So yes, the other parties have come to an awareness, but it's a bit of an add-on for them. I think for the Green Party, which has been going, for 40 years at least, it's always been the centre of what we stand for, along with a strong and caring welfare state and society.
With campaigning prohibited on university campuses, how are you planning on reaching the student body?
Well, I have been trying to put stuff on social media, and that's something I have never really bothered with much before, but about 3 or 4 months ago, when it became obvious that an election was going to happen sooner or later, I started teaching myself Twitter and Instagram and kind of Facebook, bringing Facebook to life, which I had sort of forgotten I ever had.
With regards to Brexit, I know we've spoken about it a little bit already, would you say that's the main point within the Green Party manifesto?
No, we recognise Brexit is a massive issue and urgently needs sorting out. We have a very clear position on it, but we say the climate emergency should be a climate emergency election. Our position on Brexit is that we are much, much better in Europe. These days, economies operate on a very collaborative international basis. We're a trading country. We only produce 60% of our own food. We absolutely have to trade to survive, and it's completely logical to trade with our neighbours. So we believe that we belong in Europe. And that obviously we are a democratic country, so we think that we should have a second referendum. By the time we have it, it'll be about 4 years. That's not untypical for the length of a time between general elections. So there's nothing wrong with having a second vote in the light of the fact that we know so much more now than we did when we had the first referendum. So we will campaign for Remain in that referendum.
Could membership within the EU ever impact the government's ability to implement measures to reduce the consequences of climate change and global warming?
Yes, absolutely, of course. For various reasons, because obviously climate change is worldwide, and therefore the measures we have to lead from the front. I mean, you can only put your own house in order, but we can work together with the other 450 million people in Europe to do collaborative projects to, for example, set standards or regulations for the way cars have to be produced or fueled for the production of new heating units that don't use fossil fuels, for public transport systems, for the development of new technologies which require research on a massive basis, with sort of possibly billions of funds needed to go into research of new technologies. All of that can be done much better on an international basis.
And are there any specific policies from your party which are targeted mainly at students or young people?
Well, apart from the lowering of the voting age, we would also abolish university tuition fees. I mean, we think that education at university level and at further education level should be a basic right, really. Obviously, if you reach the academic standards, but it's also vital for our economy that we should have a well-educated workforce. And so making university education very expensive is alien, stopping some people from going to university. And it's also actually making life very difficult for young people. You leave at university, you know, most students with a student debt, and then face an impossibly expensive housing market. So it's just too much burden on young people. And that's another thing that I think our policies would have a big impact on young people because of our policies on housing. We would build 100,000 new houses a year, with a large proportion of those being social housing. So quite a lot of students might start off in social housing, which at the moment you couldn't dream of accessing. You're forced onto the private rental market. But hopefully when a massive expansion in the building of private housing as well will make the price of private housing go down more to like what it was when I was your age, and you know, it was much more affordable for an ordinary person.
A lot of graduates, once they've just finished university, often face a very competitive job market. Are there any points within the Green Party manifesto that would create new jobs or kind of help graduates once leaving university to kind of with that next stage of their life?
If the Green Party was the government in power and was able to implement our economic policies and our new Green Deal, that would create thousands or millions of jobs. There would be a whole shift to new environmentally sustainable industries, everything from more wind power, more solar, more other tidal power. There would be the whole switch of our transport to electrically powered vehicles or biofuel powered vehicles. There would be the change in the building regulations for houses so that they've all got to be virtually completely insulated, almost up to passive house standard, if you know what that means, that they hardly lose any heat. There will be a massive retrofit program for the existing housing stock and other buildings, industrial buildings. So if you imagine all the jobs that would be created by all those industries, it would be substantial. Plus, we would be building up public services as well, increasing the level of teachers, increased funding for hospitals, for social care and various social services, provisions for local authorities who would then be able to run services like more support for homeless people. All of those public service jobs would increase under a Green Party government.